Hey guys, this is Jason. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We really do appreciate it. Today's podcast is with Adam Cohen. He's a comic. He draws comics, and he's in advertising. So he's a very interesting guy. We're going to talk to him about his family, comedy, and just all sorts of things. It's a really good podcast. I really enjoyed it. He was supposed to send me a bunch of stuff to promote at the beginning of this podcast, but he's a little late getting that to me, so I'm doing it anyway. The only thing I have for him is you can follow him on Twitter at Adam Cohen Cap, which is C-A-P. So just follow him on Twitter, and if you have any questions or want to see his websites, I'm sure they're there. And also follow me and Ryan. We love hearing about what you think about the show, and we really appreciate everything that you guys send us, so we really do appreciate it. You can follow me at Jason Webb. It's J-Y-S-U-N-W-E-B-B. And you can follow Ryan. Ryan, jeez, come on. Ryan, you can follow Ryan. You can follow Ryan at Not Ryan Higgins. So go do that, and let's get into the podcast. Thanks, guys.
Ryan Chicken.
Oh, we should have done
23
that.
Seconds. God.
Oh, man, we should have done
it. Dude, 23 seconds in a game will last forever. You're either committed or you're not.
I'm in.
Who gives a crap, man?
Who cares about fucking sports anyway?
I'm the only
I'm sitting here talking.
Are you recording, I hope?
Jesus Christ.
Pete Holmes taught me that.
He did, though. Start without starting. Anyway, I'm sitting here talking to Adam Cohen, a comedian. A triangle comedian. Hilarious motherfucker. I'm a brilliant writer. Myself, Ryan Higgins, and Jason Webb. Damn it. When did you want to start doing comedy?
Man.
When did you want to start?
Man, I like this mic.
It reminds me of something.
It kind of looks like a penis, listeners. Looks like a penis.
So, I started off with hack, and let's see.
That's going to be the theme of this one, I can tell you right now.
No, I just want to know, when did you know you want to start doing comedy?
Stand-up or just comedy?
Let's do both. Comedy, and then when you decide to do stand-up, because mine's different, too.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a dude. I really didn't
know. Yeah.
Because comedy is a constant. I mean, that goes back to the cradle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a fucking just Borscht Belt Jewish family. That's what I grew up in.
This is a question. There is a lot of Jewish comedians.
Yeah.
Is like a Jewish family, like just very sarcastic and witty, like in general, just as a family?
It's a part of the culture. But there's some hack Jewish families.
Is it like if you're making the jokes, you get the attention? Is that how it is?
There's a lot of that. I mean, my wife is like, did you guys see Annie Hall, that Woody Allen film, Annie Hall?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, he sums up like their relationship at one point in the movie. There's like a split screen of his family growing up and her family growing up.
Yeah.
And they're like, blah, 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 they're competing. Blah. And then on her side of the screen, it's like, those Batson boys
are
always getting into trouble.
Making small talk.
That's what my wife is like at my house. And she's like, I can't believe, like, you guys are all fighting for stage time constantly. And I'm the youngest of four boys. And our uncle is, like, the funniest guy ever.
Yeah.
And that's all it is shtick. People are just doing shtick all the time.
Yeah.
So when I started doing the stand-up, people were like, oh, did you take a stand-up class at DSI? I'm like, fuck that, man. I've been taking stand-up for 40 years.
Yeah.
Just going home is a class,
like, I was bombing at the dinner table before I was 10, dude. Like, people don't know, man.
What about this macaroni? Am I right, Mom?
Mom can't make no noodles.
To nothing.
Mom, I was hungry the next night. She made spinach. Swear to God, main course. Anyway. So you've always been doing it.
Nothing against DSI, but you know.
I mean, no, nothing at all. But I'm not gonna take a class A because I don't have the money, and B. C-A.
We ain't got class money.
I don't have DSI class money, bitches.
No class.
Now you've always been doing it. When were you, because you're a successful fucking guy. Like, you have a good job. You have a nice family.
You have a job that you enjoy.
Do you enjoy your job?
I always imagine myself doing that, and I thought I'd enjoy it. Is it just like you would think you would enjoy it?
Everyone
by the time
listening,
you have it,
Adam. Like, Adam, what do you do? Just in a nutshell.
So I've been doing advertising for 20 years. I'm a creative director. But I remember that. Like, when I was in college, I was biking past this photo shoot, and I stopped, and I saw this dude from high school that was working on the photo shoot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. And they had, like, the scrims up and everything. It was like, it looked like Hollywood. And I was like, you got the coolest job in the world. And the whole crew turned and faced me at once and went, like, it sucks, man. Don't believe this for a second.
God, no way, man.
And I was like, no way. And then I got in this business, and I went on one photo shoot, and I loved it. And the second one I went on, I was like, this sucks.
Dude, I think it's like, as soon as you have something, you don't want anymore. Because, like, when I was work on movies and stuff, when we first would do, like, PA stuff, it's just, like, running, getting coffee and all that shit. Like, it was, awesome, I was excited. I was like, yeah, I get to get, we'll throw his coffee or whatever. But now, everybody around me was bitter, and I was just like, I get to do this.
Totally.
And they probably all hated you.
Yeah, they all hated me, but I was like, I'll deal with the extras. Don't worry about it. I'll deal with them. And then you realize, like, everybody hates everything they're doing on the movie set, except the actors, and sometimes the actors are shitty, too. So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to, you know, not to get too heavy too fast, but, I mean, if you're looking for happiness in what you do or your work, I may be, you know, I may be in the minority here, but my experience has been that you're going to set yourself up to be miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the source of your happiness, you not only are not going to be happy, you're not going to do your best work because you got too much attached to it.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, doing stand-up is easy. Like, I don't take it as seriously as I did. So when I was, like, not to get all elderly, when I was, like, y'all's age, in my 20s and 30s, my thing was cartooning. I was as obsessed with that as you guys are with stand-up and as I am with stand-up now. But it was everything. It was like my life. And my, everything was hinging on it. Sure. And it was, you know, this is a different thing for me. It's like, it's for the pure pleasure of it. Like, a night like tonight was a joke, but I love it. You know, I'm just, it's not going to get that heavy for me because I enjoy the process of writing the shit, putting it on.
Was there a big event to where you were like, that's what I'm trying to get to. Like, was there a big event to where you were like, I have to do stand-up, I have to do it? Or have you always known and just didn't have the balls, and then one night you had the balls? Or
weird. I was a total stand-up fan, like, when I was a kid, but never once aspired to do it. A couple times.
Oh, shit, what happened?
Everybody listening, there's a game, basketball game playing that no one gives a shit about ever, and people are screaming. You know. But Adam, in your career,
I entertained the thought a couple of times. Yeah, I fucked that up. You want to just ask me again?
No, fuck, we're not editing. So, what made you, from your successful, nice career, go, I need to stand up and tell people jokes and kind of die most nights?
I figured it out.
And I'm not saying you die most nights, but all of us do, really. We're not famous. We do shit shows.
We did
all
a show tonight that nobody showed up for. All had to do a hot 20.
And I'm not kidding. A hot ass 20.
A hot 20, I swear to God.
So just comment. So what made you go from your nice lifestyle?
Right.
Like, honestly, most people look at your lifestyle like, I have a wife, I have kids, I'm making good money, my last name is Cohen. Like, what?
I control the media.
Yeah, I
start
control
world
the media.
Wars. What have I got?
I'm one of the 12 bankers that controls America. Like, no, seriously. Okay, on a serious note, what made you? One night, I meant to say this tonight. One night, you came off stage and you came to me. I was like, Adam, I didn't see you. Say, how'd you do? You're like, man, I killed it. And I walked up on stage and I realized no one laughed the whole time. And then I thought to myself, oh, he was just talking about Jesus. Anyway, hack what you want. Anyway, what made you go from this, like, lifestyle of making good money, nice wife, nice family, to I'm going to tell jokes to strangers and possibly hate myself for weeks at a time?
Right. So the advertising has always been a fallback thing for me. Like, I wanted to be a syndicated cartoonist. I pitched TV shows. I developed, like, a show for Cartoon Network. All this
shit. Oh, did you really?
I mean, I was always trying to do that stuff, and advertising was just paying the bills. So for the last 10 years, I've gone into work an hour before work every day to paint, to do cartoons. I have these cartoon blogs. So I've always done art on the side, which keeps me sane. And it's just that a year ago, it just switched to stand-up. Because one night at the beach, my wife and I watched hilarious Louis C.K. And we laughed so hard.
Yeah.
We had to pause it. It took 2 hours to get through that hour of show because we had to pause it so much. And I went to bed just... It never once entered my mind. I was just like, man, he he just created so much fun for us. He made us happy for an hour, and he looked like he was having fun.
Great time.
And I went to sleep, and I woke up the next morning like 5 o'clock, and I was like dreaming bits, and I just woke up and started typing them up, and within a half an hour, I was like, I'm going to call Shane
My
Smith
God.
And find
That's
out
amazing.
Where the open mics are. Never wanted to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Does Stan, like your married guy family, does that affect your marriage and your family? Like now, you do a lot of shows. You put on one of the... I would say the best show in Raleigh other than maybe Good Nights or something. Like,
I think it's better than Good Nights.
You think it's better than Good
Nights? Better than Good
I would say arguably the best show in the Triangle comparative to like Good Nights, which is an A room. Like, that's a lot of hard work, man. Like, you and Shane Smith put a lot into it, also a very funny comedian. Like, does that affect your marriage, your family, your kids? Like, how do you work around
it? I hid it from them for like a couple of months while I was kind of scoping out the rooms.
No, you didn't.
I was just telling my wife.
You hid it, but no, you did it.
Like you were banging a skate, dude.
Well, that's what happened because I was like, I'm doing research on a new art project. And my wife was cool. She was like, all right. But after a couple of months, my daughter was the first one to say to my wife, is Dad having an affair?
Oh, my God. How old is she? How old is your daughter?
She was 12 at the time.
Oh,
13 maybe.
Well, she watches a lot of those drama shit, and she just...
She does, though.
She'd be watching that Teen Mom and shit.
She knew something had changed. And finally, Cooper was like, okay, I need to know what's going on, because she got really paranoid. And I was like, all right, I'm going to tell you, but I need your first reaction to be positive, because it's going to really shape what I do. So I said, doing stand-up comedy, and she was like, she was tickled. Like,
she was worried.
She seems really fucking cool, though.
No, she's, like, I met her, I think, one time at the Dangle Over, and she seemed really supportive. She was laughing.
Yeah,
And you had a killer set that night.
Oh, thanks.
And she was just laughing it up. Like, she looked like a proud parent. She looked like a proud parent. It was
got some edible shit going on.
Yeah, I was about to say, you put your dick in that.
Yeah.
He did say that. Yeah. He said that. He's like, yeah, this is my wife. I put my dick in her or something. And it just
I would tap that or something.
And it's so funny because how awkward she felt.
She
likes it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be doing it if she wasn't as supportive.
So she's supportive. She
helps me write this.
Like, does your family think, are you the funny cool dad, or are you the fucking my daddy's fucking embarrassing?
Like, my dad's trying to tell jokes.
I do the corny dad jokes. You just go there,
you
man.
Don't do
because
you?
The reason Dude, dads I... go to corny humor is because they're fucking 9 and 8. That's their humor. You do that, but then they get older and you think they're still 8, so you do the corny
My dad
shit.
Would fuck with us.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he would... He knew we would get embarrassed, like, in middle school. Like, he knew we were very embarrassed. Like, we'd get embarrassed of him. So I remember one time my sister would... Like, you had to drive your car up and drop people off, like, and, like, the teacher came out there and opened the door.
Yeah.
And my sister did not kiss my dad and tell him that she loved him this morning. And then we rode this big, loud, red truck that my sister was already embarrassed that she had to come to school
in. I mean, sounds pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. It's pretty embarrassing. And we get up there, and she walks out and didn't say I love you to my dad. He rolls down the window, revs up the car, which did not have a Cadillac converter whatsoever. So it was like,
thrush muffler on it. And
Leanne looks back. She's like, you forgot to tell me you love me, sweetheart.
Oh, that's a way to get your kids to love you.
Oh, my gosh. No, she's still, like, every time she gets mad at my dad, she's like, you remember that time in middle school? She must have got so much shit for it because, like, all her friends were in that car section.
I would. I would give a shit.
I felt bad for it, and I was sitting middle of this truck. I sit in the middle of the truck.
That's the worst place.
That's a cool dad right there.
Yeah. But okay. So your kids don't necessarily think you're funny, or do they? Are they like, my dad's a dad that does stand up, Cohen, oy vey? Like,
that's how they talk.
they got the little ringlets.
Are your kids Hasidic Jews?
Oh my gosh, I can so imagine.
Like, you got the word before I did, man.
I did. I wanted to steal that bit from you. Okay, like, let's be honest.
No, they're. I can crack them up sometimes, but usually it's like, Dad, shut the fuck up.
Do they know that they are such a large amount of your material? Because you really talk about them a lot.
They suspect it. In fact, they're coming to a show this Friday that's a clean show. It's designed for... be family friendly.
No fucking way.
So
you're doing a clean show?
No, somebody invited me to do one in North Raleigh. So we'll see. That's the first time they will have seen me do I've shown my daughter a couple of bits, but
nah, dude, you have great bits about you. Like, that's my favorite part about your comedy.
Like I kind of want to be a dad after seeing your bits. Like, I want. Yes. I was like, man, that's where the material is.
Make a person and fuck it up. I'm kidding. That's just what I want to do. That's just what I want to do. I want to make a person and fuck it up.
That's so
anyway,
funny.
That's why I'm against abortion. Kidding. I'm so pro it. Anyway. Anyway.
Oh, God. Yeah. I just changed it.
Like now you put on a show monthly. Like, is that stressful? Like, what have you learned from putting on a monthly? Like, and let me say, and no one can disagree, send me an email. Like, you put on an amazing show every month. Like, that's stressful. Like, how? Like, what have you learned from?
I learned not to do a weekly show. That's what I learned. I was started off as a weekly.
Yeah, I was in. I think one of your weekly shows after it had been a month. I was at one of the beginning ones, and then I was
right around Thanksgiving. I think. Yeah. I was. Yeah.
And then there's only like 15 or so people there. It's still pretty good. Like, it wasn't a bad night. Like, I had fun there. But then, like, right after that show, I think you went to doing monthlies, and it's been, like, amazing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, like, how do you keep such a regular audience is what I wanted to ask you. Like,
I think it has to be more special than weekly.
Yeah.
And there's not enough comics around here to put on a great weekly show. There's just
That's true. That's really not. Yeah,
so we wanted to maintain the quality, and then Shane and I kind of vowed at the beginning to never do the same bit twice. And we haven't totally stuck to that, but that was kind of the goal. And that was about to kill us with the weekly show. 10 minutes a week. I mean, it's easy to write 10 minutes.
Oh, I know.
It's hard to write 10 good minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even in a month.
And a lot of your audience members were people you know in your life, like coworkers, friends,
some,
and shit.
Some,
like, some not. Not a lot. Okay, I was about to say 50-50. If you want, like, a good regular crowd, you need good regular material.
Well, it's a good spot in Raleigh because there's a lot of foot traffic around there.
Yeah, there is.
Now
yeah.
we're starting to, you know, bark around there so we get more people in.
His crowd is like a good crowd though because they remember the comics and stuff. Because I was doing another show in Raleigh and somebody that saw me at your show came up to me and remembered me,
dude,
and was like, hey, I saw you at the Adams thing the other day. I was like, you're really good. That meant more to me than anything because they didn't see the show that I was just putting on. Like,
that's
they were
great.
Seeing the old one. They was like, they remember. Like, most people don't remember you for anything. Like,
no, I mean, we're
like,
talking North
our
Carolina.
Our waitress asked me my name 4 times, and I think it's because she knew it bothered me.
Yeah.
Because it hurt a little bit. Like, who are you? Like, it bothers me. Like, that whole thing just bothers me.
Well, I mean, people are like, oh, you got these crowds, you should be charging and stuff. I'm like, you don't understand the show,
go,
man.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Like, it's like the vitamins I get from that fucking show just to have people pay attention and, like, hear your bits.
I want to know, Jason, and y'all tell me your opinion on this. Like, I am so lucky just to have people listening to me on a microphone. If I ever say, okay, no, I need $10 before I start talking, that's ridiculous to me. Like, I'm just so glad you're sitting there listening to me, hearing what I'm saying.
I might say I need to spend $10 before I do this.
Exactly. Like,
I think that's a good measure if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that was a little bit what was fucked up with me with cartoons, is because I was always looking to, like, make a living at it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're doing something that not only you would gladly do for free, but you would even consider paying to do, I think that's when you know you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about this.
And see, a lot of people don't know this about you, even comedians and your good... Well, I think you're good friends now. I have no idea who your good friends are, but myself, I consider myself a good friend. I didn't know you were such...
I don't, but I appreciate that you think that. Yeah.
Jason, you can laugh.
He was empathizing with me.
I mean, you're a good friend of mine. Fuck
we
you.
We have a support group.
I don't care what
people who you think are for your friends.
And thank you guys so much. Thank you guys, because I'm so close to the ledge. Anyway, like, you're a really good artist. You're an amazing artist. Have you ever thought of, like, incorporating your art into your comedy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to.
I mean, I'm not saying you're funny or a good artist, but I'm saying, like, if you combine the two, you could be shitty at both together.
Exactly.
No,
you can fail at all your dreams at once.
All your dreams at once.
That's efficient.
Like, your kids are obviously fucked up, so you could show them your shitty art, and they could hate you, and you could fail at comedy and art and your children.
Yeah.
No. Seriously, though, have you ever thought about like, bam, yeah, here's a picture?
There's just not enough bandwidth, just not enough hours. I would like to do some animation thing, but I can't figure out what to do that would be interesting. Like, I thought I would take like the real audio from some stand-up and then do some animation with that as the audio track.
Yeah.
And ever since I thought of that, I've seen like 8 comedians who've done that. Yeah. So it's like, unless I can do something that's novel.
Yeah, I liked it when it was called Shorties Watching Shorties.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called. I liked it when it was called that. You know, six exactly. seasons, no big deal. Adam's just a hack, everybody. Adam's just a idea-stealing hack.
So doesn't that suck, no. though? Like, when you come up with a bit that you think's really good, and then you realize, oh, shit, somebody's done that.
Oh, when the Benson interruption came out, my heart was broken. Broken. But, like, much like Adam's, you know, brain and soul, you know, he just steals things like me. Like, I want to do it, but I can't do it.
I'm just more comfortable.
Well, that's like...
Adam, seriously, I think you're a good enough artist and a good enough comedian. Like, you could really benefit from that. I was always expecting you to do it.
It's just hours in the day. Like, right now, I got so much... I gotta get better as a writer and all this shit.
So that's true.
And if I split it between the two, it's just going to slow down. Yeah, thank you.
Like it does hurt you on a little tiny level when I say something snarky. Like, I still get that feeling.
I don't think it does.
Because Adam,
I think I do that because I feel obligated to, but like, I'm the youngest of 4 boys. I've got skin like leather.
He's like, I could be so much meaner than you. Yeah. It's not like a you hurt my feelings thing. It's like, you could have been meaner than that.
I mean, Ryan, I'll go there, right?
Look, I figured out why he does comedy.
Okay.
Because you're not getting the attention that you would say if you were to kill at a family dinner when you're doing advertising. You're like, yeah, that's a good idea, Adam. But when you go out, and you do stand up and people laugh, you're like, yes, I'm the life of the dinner table. Like, that's why you do stand up.
That might be.
Did I mind fuck you or what?
That's spooky.
That's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. I'm not a psychologist or whatever that is.
Well, this may be related to what you're saying, but after 20 years of doing cartoons and like visual art alone in a room, it's awesome to do shit and just immediately get that you know if it works or not, and you can't fool yourself into thinking, oh, that works, you know, and you hear about it third hand, you know. The immediacy of this is what's awesome.
It's the payoff, but it's also the detriment. Like, you can also go from hey yeah to I want to die.
Yeah,
like,
but that makes you appreciate the shit that works.
Yeah,
like, that's the reason I quit doing screenplays and stuff like when I was in school, because I would write a funny screenplay and we'd all laugh about it, but then when we got to film it was really dedicated towards the actors, and if they didn't perform it right, it wasn't going to be funny. And it was just like it got old quick. So that's why I like stand-up a lot more than writing screenplays and stuff.
Definitely. But
screenplays are still funny.
Well, the thing with family is, like, if you get deemed as, like, the funny guy, like, if you're the funny son or I'm the funny son, and you obviously are too, Jason, like, if you're the funny guy, all that pressure's on you. Then if you say something real, like oh, my God, where's the potato salad? Everyone's like, he's gonna talk about potato. Like, no, I'm just fucking hungry. Please, I'm a person. I don't. I'm just hungry.
I'm not doing a bit.
I'm not working material. No,
this is true. Like, you probably can relate to this. Like, I think it's like a year or two ago. Like, I lost my job or whatever, and I was talking to my brothers, like, trying to get me a job, like, somewhere, just doing shit work. And I was like, hey man, like, I'm having like pretty rough financially and stuff. And he's like,
what's going on?
What's he gonna say?
What you been eating?
You been so poor. Why?
Why?
Because? And I was like no, seriously, man. Fucking just give me like a cheese sandwich for like $5.
Cheese sandwich.
It doesn't matter. Shut up. No, that's a. How about this? Have y'all had this since you started doing comedy? Some of your friends and you like, oh, this is my friend Adam, the comedian.
Oh my god,
it's the worst, because now it's like, yeah, what'd you do to Adam? Like, I went to the DMV. Like, what happened at the? No, it sucked. It was shitty, and the service was bad. But like, how bad was the? It wasn't. God damn! Like, you
quit making me work, bitch!
I know, like, you don't want to, and it sucks. Bad.
So I keep steering this back towards the serious. But here's one of my theories: are you the youngest in your?
No, I'm next to the youngest.
Oh, I see a lot of youngests
I'm the youngest, definitely. I'm the
fighting for that youngest. Stage time,
and not
right?
like
growing
a little
up.
Bit either. I'm like very much the youngest.
By 5 years.
Yeah, by six right here. Yeah, yeah. And well, see, I started doing comedy. Like, I don't need to go to therapy and figure this shit out.
No,
like,
you don't.
No, I really don't. Like, I know it's just because I'm the youngest. And no one gave a shit and listened, and so then now I have a microphone.
Yeah, it's simple.
That's it. End of story.
I think you look at yourself more as like what you actually are as a person, like doing comedy. I think that's what helped me know what kind of actual person I am.
Well,
like I make fun of myself. Like I pick out little things and stuff. Like I just know what kind of person I am more so because you knew me when I was just doing like. Clear one-liners and stuff.
Yeah,
like, I wasn't being myself on
stage.
You
were distancing yourself.
Yeah, I was distancing myself. And, like, to me, I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
And
well,
so, like,
well,
I feel
the
like you
is,
get to know who you are as
the crowd, to me, I want them to know who I am. Because my favorites, I know who they are. I feel
yeah,
like,
yeah
at least.
I agree.
Like, look at Chris Rock. Look at George Carlin. Look at, you know, anybody. You can, Steve Martin, my favorite. When he got off stage, I feel like I knew that guy.
Really?
I
know Steve Martin.
I
like
feel like
Louis,
I know Steve Martin.
Yeah,
like Louis,
Maron,
all that. Well, of course. Mark Maron, absolutely.
Yeah.
But when they get off stage, I feel like I know him. Like, how are the audience members ever going to know you if you don't know yourself? That's why I'm brutally, like, trying to dissect who I am. Because I want to connect. I don't want to be that comic that they're like Anthony Jeselnik. Hilarious guy. Hilarious fucking guy. But when he gets off stage, who is he? I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't fucking know.
I agree. It's art, man. It's like, and as much, the more truth that's up there, the more people are going to connect with it, for sure.
Like, Ron pushed me in that direction when he was saw me doing one liners. So he's like, dude, just like be yourself. Yourself's like hilarious and stuff. And then I started doing stuff that wasn't really funny, but it was out there, and I thought
now,
it was
when you
funny.
Did your like
amazing.
Childhood picture stuff,
dude, I'm telling you, that's great.
That's great
material. That's great material.
And people will like post stuff on Facebook or the stuff y'all talk about on this podcast. I was telling Ryan, it's like there's so many bits in there because it's personal, great stuff.
Yeah, me and Ryan try to talk about stuff that is either funny or it hurts us so much that we have to talk
y'all are
about
so,
it.
Okay, I'm gonna fucking hijack this thing because I love this podcast because you guys are like. Such natural comics. I mean, you just talk in comedy. You don't even realize how natural you are. And the other thing that's so sweet about this podcast is how y'all listen to each other.
Like, we do, though.
Like, usually comics get around each other. They're just fighting for time, airtime. But y'all actually pause and you listen to the other guy and you respond thoughtfully and then you let the other... It's like, it's the sweetest thing.
We are so cute. Y'all we are some sweeties.
So I'm peaching his cheeks right
we
now.
We some sweeties.
It is the sweetest, funniest thing ever, man. Y'all are the best. I love this thing.
I never
thought of it that way. I just thought it was
I really thought the whole podcast was me and Jason picking apart our insecurities.
It is, though.
It is.
But there's such affection in that.
There
because
really
y'all
is.
Are so, like, accepting of it. It's
we
okay.
almost want to one-up each other with our fucking.
Like, no.
Yeah.
You were poor. I was this poor. Like, that's what we did.
Oh, you like stroking girls' hair? I like just kissing them.
Dude, that's my favorite podcast because that was the most.
I love that.
You
that
like Ryan went
most,
on a date?
Dude, that's my favorite.
That's
one.
The most truth that I think I've
ever
had.
That's what I'm
on
talking about, man.
Yeah.
God, that's the good shit.
Adam, get in that good shit, man.
So
get
I
in
listened
that
to
shit.
That kissing thing. I told Ryan, I got home, I walked in the door, I took the earbuds. My wife was like at the stove. I just stuck them in her ear, and I was like, stop everything you're doing and listen to this right now.
I'm telling you, Adam's great.
And
that's fucking nuts.
She loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah, we're some weird... at the end of the day...
It's real.
Adam, you're not very well-adjusted. Like, you're well-adjusted, but you're successful, and you have a family. Like, me and Jay, we are just not well-adjusted.
No.
We're some fucked-up individuals.
Yeah, what did Trundy call it when we were talking to him? We're broken people.
Broken.
We're broken people.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
You seem to kind of have your shit taped together.
Well, that's, you know, Ryan's got a little peek at me. I'm 40... I'm about to turn 45.
You
I've
got
been
shit figured out.
Fucking hell and back. I mean, y'all are so much more together than I was in my 20s. I mean,
that's what I was about to say. Like I know you, Adam. Like, I've known people like you. Like, you don't get to where you're at by being just 100% healthy all the time. That's why I listen to every set you have. You intrigue me. You're very interesting. Because, like, you're fucked up, man. You're a fucked up dude.
So
and
fucked
I'm just
up. I have racked up
it.
The therapy and the recovery and the spiritual and all that. God, man. Just Like, yeah. Battle scarred.
I love it. Gosh. I love it. Like, fucking...
So I can see the wrinkles in your face, and they all tell stories.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's right.
I'm sorry. That's my laugh. Get used to it. You gotta love it. This is, this has been a...
It's not funny.
Dude.
No, fuck it. This has been a good little time. I'm enjoying this shit.
Yeah, man. Like, it's just... Oh, this is so much fun. Like, I never actually get to talk to you.
Yeah,
like,
we haven't really talked much.
I don't even think I have your number. Like, I think I go through Shane while I want to get on your show. And
yeah, I mean,
he and I
get into these things on Facebook. We gotta connect more.
Yeah, man. Sure.
I just love just shameful things. I think there's a lot of shameful things going on. Like,
and I'm compulsively go there. I mean, that's the thing we all share, right? Yeah. We go to that.
That's why I was excited to have you as a guest.
It's like, if it's like uncomfortable, and it's like, that's exactly where I want to go.
Let's all tell something shameful we did today.
Today?
This week.
Oh,
today's
God.
Fine.
I didn't do anything really shameful.
That's what I say. Today's good for me.
I did something shameful this morning. It's not really shameful, but I realized that I'm just an idiot. I karate chopped my bar of soap in the shower, and I felt really shitty about it. Like, I'm not working a bit. I did it and just felt like, why, Jason? Why would you do that? Like, it's 8 o'clock in the morning and you karate chopped the Dial soap. Okay?
Like, dude, honestly, two pieces of soap, way less productive than one. Like, you could have really washed yourself better with one.
Was it, like, in the soap dish thing when you did it? Or did you throw it in the air?
Yeah,
like,
good question. Oh, that would have been cool. If you threw it in the air.
Or was your girlfriend holding it like a board?
And there. And dude, again, Adam.
Dude, these are so much better than what I did in the shower.
What did you do?
Dude, like, we have this little thing that just, like, our shower has those built-in cubby things. And it was just sitting on there. And I was like, and I did the noise.
No, you didn't.
I did the
noise. Stop it.
I'm not shitting you. I did the noise. I went, and I hit it.
Christ.
And I didn't even break it. Like, I just, like, made a big indent in it from where it was just been wet and soggy for a while. And so it wasn't even fulfilling like I thought it would be.
Oh, my God. At least when you kick the cat, it goes meow.
Yeah, like, I just went,
like, you kicked the cat and it went, bitch. Like, that's what you did.
Like, this is the noise it made. It went,
oh,
like, dude, it just felt like
your set tonight went better than that.
I was about to say, you had a way better set than your bar is soaked.
I had a hot 20. I swear to God.
Who wants to go? Adam, you want to go next with your Shane?
Because
I'm pretty sure I can beat all of you.
I'm pretty sure your Shane grief is overwhelming.
I mean, I'm just going to choose from a few things. But
please go.
What did I do? Man, it's hard to... put in. You can't. You got to, like, be transported there.
You're
to
a married
the,
man with
to
kids.
The way that I, like, went after my daughter and yelled at her today.
Feel that, man.
She, and it's like, I couldn't just turn the other cheek. I had to, like, stomp down the stairs and get in her face.
No, you didn't.
Like,
what did she do, man?
Because you're asking her questions like 6 times and she's just zombied out on the computer. And I'm like, and then when she finally answers, she screams at you, like, what? You know, and you're like, I'll tell you what, I asked you 6 times. And you're just zombied out in front of your stupid computer. And then, you know, she goes stomping off, and I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Because you know what? She's not going to remember the lesson trying to teach her. What she's going to remember is the veins popping out of my head and the screaming at her.
She's going to say, my
she's going
to
scream at somebody else
today.
Like that.
Not to bring this back to comedy, but I feel like I have that feeling with hecklers. Like, I automatically go to that, why are you so stupid?
Yeah.
And I want to be that loving one where you're just, like, giving them, like, shit, but still, like, being nice about it. That's the thing. Like, I just, like, I automatically go to mean dad when it
You really do. Like, they've been talking before, and you say something really mean, and they're like, no, we were just saying you were funny. And, like,
but
you've been like,
never...
you fucking slutty whore bitch. I'm under
No, I never go like, in on people like
yes,
that.
Yes, you do.
No,
shut up.
Right,
last weekend at the tavern, I won't name names, but there's this comic up there. And I kept looking over at you because he was so...
He's talking about me, everybody.
No. There was somebody up there, and the people in the audience, they looked somewhere else. All they did was look somewhere else. And he's like, what the fuck are you looking at? Why aren't you looking at me? And I looked over at you, and you were like, oh, you looked like somebody just punched you in the stomach. And I was like, oh, man.
Somebody did that to you?
No. It was a guy, and his name rhymes with fucker. And... Tyler. And
Tyler?
It wasn't Tyler?
No.
Okay.
No,
I thought it was Tyler. Anyway, some comic is... You're right. It wasn't Tyler. Anyway, a comic is up there, and he's like, what the fuck are you looking at? I'm right here, like berating this audience member.
I wish you could see the look on your face.
When he said that, Ryan goes...
No, you don't. Like, I don't think you do. But my thing is, if you're going to engage the crowd, it's fine. I'm not a master of it by no means. But if you're going to engage them, like, engage them to where they're still listening at the end. But this comic was just like, what are you fucking looking at? I'm right fucking here. No punchlines. Nothing. And that hurt. Like, have you ever been on a roller coaster and you get that visceral reaction in your gut? It feels like it's crunching. I get that with bad crowd.
That's
work.
What I saw on your face. Yeah. I looked over at you and you were just like, oh.
Well, see,
I was, though. No, you're so right.
Yeah. Dude. I've seen Ron do crowd work many a time.
Many nights, yeah.
And I've seen him take people that... Like, there's one guy at the back bar who was being an asshole to you.
Very much
like,
so.
Like, very much, like, asshole. Like, I
would have headliner.
I would have went in on him just being as mean as hell. Like, that's what I would have done because I don't know any better. Like, I just would have been
he's
mean
being
as hell.
A dick to me, the headliner, all the other...
He's being a dick to everybody. Yeah, yeah. And you went up there and, like, you kept talking like, oh, yeah, I bet you, da, da, da. And you kept giving him good graces, I guess.
I did.
And by the end, he loved you. And he came up to you and told you that he liked your set the best.
He did. I could not believe this guy. He was heckling everybody, and all I did was give him a little bit of shit, little bit of shit. And people still ask me about him. They'll be like, oh, man, is that the guy right there? Is that him? Who gives a shit if that's him? If it's him and he says something, get him. He's not hard. But everyone looks at him like some hump they can't fucking make. But all you got to do is relate to these motherfuckers, man. Just relate
to
them.
You're natural at that.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Who cares?
I'm not good at relating to people because I still break out in hives at grocery stores.
You do, though.
I broke out in a hive over here when the waitress didn't know my name the third time.
She didn't. She was like, what's your name? And you started sweating.
Yeah, I had to walk away with my beer. Like, that happens. I get uncomfortable and I have to walk away.
Yeah. I don't know how you get on stage and do the alternative material you
do. I know,
you're
fearless on stage.
Yeah, like, fearless. Like, you do this alternative material, characters and voices, and you don't break out in hives at all.
I don't know what it is.
You don't even care. You don't even give a shit. But when it comes to, like, the grocery store, paper or plastic, Jason is sweating, panicking, he's calling 911. Like, there's a plane coming.
I might be having a panic attack with a heart attack on top of it.
Like, I know.
It's a horrible thing.
I know. You can do Ancient Aliens guy, but when it comes to, like, is this your sausages? You're done.
Honestly don't know what it is.
Like, that's what I love about doing this. I just feel like I have never felt like around a group of guys like I am more like around just my species. Like, bit I hear that, it's just like I just get it, man. It's like I feel at home around you. And like age doesn't matter,
you know.
It's just like it's amazing.
All the problems I can't solve, all the religions that I think are wrong, nothing matters. It doesn't matter. I'm around my people. They're not going to judge me or hate me.
The comedy's mindset is like, this is what I love about it. It's like, I come out to these clubs, nobody's here.
Nobody.
Who gives a shit?
Nobody gives
like,
a shit.
Like,
we got each other.
It's and if it's packed with 150 people, who gives a shit? Like, it's always who gives a shit. Like, there's never like,
Thomas,
oh, dude, we got to do good, man. We got to, who gives a shit?
Thomas had a great bit tonight. He's like, what other job can you go to where you can do it in front of nobody? Like, and that was a great bit. Like, you might go to a comedy club, nobody, and you still got to do your material.
You still got to do 5 to 15
a
minutes.
A hard 15. So, yeah, you're right. I love this. I've never had a group of people like I accepted and loved until I did comedy.
And just immediate, like the first time I met you guys, it was just like, I know that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know him.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
And see, that's the only, this is a big thing I have with other comics, and it's fine if you're not this type of comic, but if you get off stage and I don't know who you are, we're not at the level where that's okay. Like, you need to get off stage and I need to go, hey, man, I feel like I know you. If you're not doing that, I'm not saying you're doing it wrong because I'm new and I don't know shit, but I am saying that's not the type of comic I want to be.
Yeah,
what do you guys think?
I love when you just dove right into, you know, the health stuff. When you started writing bits about that, I mean, that's an artist right there, man. That's a real writer.
Having cancer and stuff. Like,
yeah, I didn't know how much
cancer.
You had talked about on the
podcast. Oh, no, it's a whole thing.
Has this been on the podcast? I don't think
it has. No, but I mean, we might as well make it a podcast for later or something if we want to.
Well, we still have the Ryan Deadcast that we recorded prematurely.
That's fine, but I appreciate it, Adam. I appreciate it. Like, if you can talk about horrible things that are like tough. Like you talk about your kids, and I'm like, this motherfucker is brave as shit. That's probably nothing to you. Like you're probably just like, this is, I have to talk about.
Well, it's like you guys. It's like a compulsion. Like I've had some times in the last year where I'm struggling with stuff. Like I'm having a night that's just like, you know, you're just feverish with shit. And the only thing I can do to like break the fever is to write a bit about it. You know. And yeah. It's like, ah. Oh.
I spend a lot of nights, I don't know if you guys do this, but I have like those inspiration nights and they're usually like every other night. I'll be trying to go to sleep and I keep coming up with bits and like I get so fed up. I was like, I don't give a shit if that's gold. I'm going to sleep. Like I spend lots of nights like that. And
yeah, once you get some momentum up, yeah, we've been...
Yeah, we're good. Like, we can do more time or we can wrap it up. It's whatever.
We got some stuff to do. Yeah. We got some stuff.
Oh, we got
40 minutes.
That's so pretty good.
Yeah, we're doing good. We did good.
Well, guess what, guys? We did it.
We did. Hey, Adam.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it, Adam. We did it.
That was a Hall & Oates song. That needs to be your theme song.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to pay for the copyright.
We did it in a minute.
Okay, don't sing the whole song. But, okay, everybody, I appreciate you listening. This has been myself, Ryan Higgins, Adam Cohen, and
Jason Webb.
Thank you guys for listening. Oh, my God, it's been a great one. Look forward to next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.